But the key is you got to get to the hope. If you read this and stop, and you don't read the rest of the scriptures to know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, you could take this and make a doctrine that poor little pitiful us, we're just a bunch of sinners filled with sin and there's nothing we can do about it, but God loves us anyway. And then you throw out all the scriptures about hypocrites going to hell. You throw out all the scriptures that say, especially in the book of John, that if you keep sinning after you know Christ, you crucify him again and there's no hope for you. So don't throw everything out because you want to read into one scripture what your flesh wants to read into it. But every time I do what I do not want to, then it is not myself acting, but the sin that lives in me. That's powerful to show you something's living in there. So I find this rule that for me, where I want to do nothing but good, evil is close at my side. Okay, so you need to know this. As you're growing and struggling with these things, Satan's right there trying to tempt you back into it. We talked before, or last night, about the different kind of spirits that try to entice you. We talked about a little bit earlier today that let's say if you have a major fear and somebody told you drinking would solve that fear. Or let's say that you become sexually active and you shouldn't be. You're not married. And so afterwards it all falls apart. You repent, you hate it, you say, God, forgive me. But let me tell you what, whatever in you was looking to get that need met in a relationship that didn't please God is still in there. You need to go to God and find out why. You need to let God heal you. You need to stay away from anybody of the opposite sex that you're interested in until God heals that thing in you and that person in you who is looking for love in all the wrong places. Or you're going to do it over and over and over again. There is a play. See, you don't just sin for no reason. And you have to go after that and bring Christ into that and then get set free. Whatever the thing is, I'm jumping all over on purpose. In my inmost self, I dearly love God's law. Listen to this person. Listen to the struggle he's putting so clear here. You're the one, and you say something like, God, I'm never again going to watch a soap opera and then move into masturbation. Everybody quits laughing then. I'm never again going to let something get into my eye, something begin to entice me. So you remember, sin's right there beside you. That devil who, and masturbation is really having sex with demons, so we won't get into all that tonight. We got tapes on that. They will make you hate it. That's why you feel so dirty. That's why some gross stuff happens. And I don't care, Doctor Who says it's okay. The Bible says it's not. And God is big enough to say, no, I can give you power over this. I can give you strength over this. You have to agree with God. But it's very powerful when you get into sexual addiction. It's very powerful when that bondage comes. And you've got to realize this is a devil. This is a devil using my body in such a perverted way. And I'm not going there anymore. And I've got to stay away from that devil who's assigned to stay right by my side to entice me back into that bondage. I don't want to go there. You've got to really get serious about living a holy life. If you're going to sit and watch garbage, you are going to have lustful spirits. You need to have a remote control and click quick if you're just going to really watch certain shows. I'm serious. We were at Nag's Head. Karen's family, my family, Donna's family. And all our teenagers were sitting there, and preteens. And there's a show that you haven't been watching. But it was like one of those, you couldn't believe it kind of talk shows, one of those goofy ones. And not really, we never watched that stuff, so we didn't even know what it was. And anyway, but before you could even think about it, they put a very seductive person out there. And I was so proud of them. I watched, and most of them turned their eyes like this. They clicked the clicker so fast, it was amazing. And they all burst out laughing because they were like, ah! I'd be there, oh, that was so gross! And oh! And I'm thinking, well, praise God. Because if you were in a room of most kids that age, they'd be, and all kind, I mean, they would have hid that remote from you. And they were serious. It was a serious innocence. And we just broke the power of them seeing that and whatever. The person had clothes and all, but it was still very seductive. They just didn't have enough clothes. And but really, you can sit there sometimes and see if you raised them right. because they are going to have sin right at their side. That's what reminded me of sin was right at their side, waiting to grab them. And every one of them turned the other way, renounced it, clicked the TV, you know, did all this, and it was the end of it. Praise God. And so temptation's right by your side. It's how you handle it. We got lots of tapes. That one on temptation is very, very good to help you stop even giving it. You know, Eve, would, if she had just not been tempted, she had not listened to the enemy begin to try to entice her. And that's what he does. Find out why your needs aren't met in Christ. Find out how the enemy entices you. Oh, you'll know, you're so lonely, you're this, you're that. Oh, you're so afraid. It's all based on lies. It's all based on lies that God has set you free from. So, but I love this part. He says, in my inmost self, and deep in my heart, I love God's laws. I love him. I trust him. I love his ways. But I see that acting on my body, there's a different law that battles against the law in my mind. This is very real. This is, I mean, he says it in such a way that you're like, what is he saying? But if you get in the Holy Ghost and get through that, you see him talking to every one of us to say, look, there is a battle in your mind. There are demonic forces. It's not you. Your flesh can't handle this. So quit condemning yourself. Quit feeling bad. Quit saying, oh, there's no use. If it didn't work, folks, it's because you're trying to do it. Is there anyone in this room who thinks that the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that raised Lazarus from the dead, that put eyes where there were no eyes, do you really think he can't, he doesn't have enough power to stop you from overeating, giving into unclean stuff, drinking or smoking? Is there anybody in this room who honestly can say, I don't think God's power is strong enough to set me free from this? Okay, the reason you failed is because you've tried to do it in your own strength. People have spent thousands of dollars learning how to try to do it in their own strength. And they may have some small measure of success only because they're using a different spirit to try to cope. But truthfully, God doesn't want you doing it in your own strength. He wants you first to love his law. He wants you to know what evil is and declare it evil. He wants you to have your heart right with him. He wants you to recognize that there is really a battle. There is a war going on. And guess what? It's in your mind. It's in your mind. Oh, this is good. It's in your mind that sin and bad habits and addictions are triggered. Think about that. That's why they drug people up, to set them free from thinking that stuff. So your eating problem is not in your stomach. Your eating problem is not about food. Your eating problem is in your mind. There is a battle going on in your mind. Every problem, every addiction, there's a battle going on in your mind. That's why inner healing is so important. That's why knowing that you shall know the truth shall make you free. That's why don't just look at the fruit of your problem. Go back and let the Holy Spirit go all the way to the problem. And then let him heal it. That's inner healing. Why did you drink? Why did you smoke? Why did you fornicate? Why are you in an adulterous affair? Why do you cuss? Why do you overeat? The why is very important, because you need to bring Jesus into where Satan got in and caused the damage. We have a powerful book over there by someone else called Breaking Generational Curses that has prayers to pray, things to outline. It's a really good starting point to start to go after some of these things. Also, the tape that we talked about last night called Foul Spirits. I don't even know the name of it, but it's Foul Spirits on the front. It talks about gluttony and perversion, different things. That's very powerful to help with this. And some of the other teaching that will be coming out soon. We've been dealing with this for a couple months. Okay, here he goes. So I am brought to be a prisoner of the law of sin, which lives inside my body. So there's a real, you are a prisoner. So we're not judging you, okay? If you're having a hard time not stopping bad eating habits, or you're having a hard time not drinking, or you're having a hard time not quitting smoking, or not drinking, you know what I mean. If you're having a difficult time getting free from a habit, from an addiction, from a way of thinking, from any of these things, it's okay. That's what he's recognizing here. Man, it's a struggle. It's a battle. We recognize that. It's real. It's not because you're so weak in your flesh, because this thing's bigger than your flesh. So there's no condemnation, which we're going to see in a minute. He says, what a wretched man I am. 24. Now here's the answer that people don't get to. They all stop and go, see, we're just going to be old sinners till we get out of here. Woe is us. Once an addict, always an addict. I've got to keep fighting in my flesh. If you want to spend your whole entire life that God's given you fighting a demon, when Jesus Christ died, went to hell and defeated him once and for all, what a waste. But it's better than not fighting. But folks, that devil inside of you and standing beside you has already had to bow his knee to Jesus. And Jesus lives inside a born-again believer. Cigarettes have already bowed. Our nicotine addiction has already bowed. God beat the tar out of it. Alcoholism, whammo. Paraded them, the Bible says. And then y'all sit around and go, I'm a prisoner forever. It's such a tough life. Oh, it's such a battle. Whoa. And the Lord's like, I went to hell and beat them up for you. When are you going to agree with me? Because the battle's in your mind. If they see a change in your brain, like a chemical change or something, it's because that spirit was able to affect the physical body. A spirit of infirmity is in a person before the disease shows up. So don't be surprised that what's the big deal that a spirit of addiction that's abused your body for years isn't going to mess with your brain? But you go after the spirit first. You make your soul agree with God, you attack the spiritual issue, and then you ask God to heal where Satan got in and messed up with the body. Or you might have to get a spirit of infirmity cast out also, because the spirit of infirmity can come in once that door's open. MS is a perfect example of that. First, it's an inner healing issue. It's an area where whatever it is, it's an area where the autoimmune system fights, therefore it's fighting within the body, therefore it's something to do more than likely with being criticized your whole life or something where you should have been loved and nurtured. Instead, there was a beating up going on. That becomes a spirit that puts you into a works mode that gets you serving the wrong God and critical and all this other stuff going on and whatever happens. And at some point, that then opens the door for the enemy to come in and start messing with your brain. I know, like in Laurie's situation, she was fighting MS. She was very works-oriented. She's the one we were talking about earlier whose mind, she had to do this, had to do this, had to do this, because she had a very critical father. And she thought, if I could just please him, you can't please a devil, because that acting through her father was a devil. But here's a little kid trying to please him. And a constant struggling, a constant of works, trying to be perfect, always feeling like, if I don't work, if I can't work correctly, I have no value. So what does that do? It opens a way for spirit infirmity to come in and say, you know what? We're going to make your brain so your body can't work. Because you think your self-esteem is in how much work you do. That's a total counterfeit and a lie. So what we're going to do is we're going to come in and we're going to make it so you can't work at all. So you'll think you have no value because you don't know who you are in Christ. And that's been the struggle. Every disease has that kind of things. Scriptures, let me tell you, rotten to the bones because of bitterness and all these different things. Unforgiveness, number one, will take you to hell. But as it attacks your body, many times it'll show up in cancer, it'll show up in horrible diseases. And you know what? That's even believe that or not, that's God's mercy. Because it might make you wake up enough to repent and forgive. It's a shame we have to wait till something gets into the physical realm before we even acknowledge there's an issue. By that point, by the time something's in the physical realm, there's been a lot of damage going on in the soul and the spirit for a long time. Does it mean that God can't set you free and deliver you? He will. But it can mean, right, Deborah, that you have to really go through. Deborah got completely healed of cancer, completely healed at a conference on inner healing. It's physical healing. If you get the CDs, it's her tapes. She's the one I'm being really mean to on there. at some point in the Holy Ghost. And it broke through. And God completely healed her, medically documented, proven. But that's been what? How long ago? A year and a half? 2 years? Almost 3 years? Wow. And you can ask her today, the inner healings that she's received after that to make her understand how that even came on her have been more miraculous than the physical healing. But there's no question, according to biblical law, that had she just received her healing and went on about her life and not dealt with the roots, that devil would have been back 7 times worse, and she would have had cancer all over again and been dead so quick, you probably wouldn't have had time to get her to a prayer meeting. People want to know. People say, well, I don't know why they're in remission. We just know it usually comes back. But they can't tell you why it comes back. I can. It's based on spiritual law. It's going to come back 7 times worse, 7 times worse, and find out if you dealt with the issues. And if you didn't, has a legal right to come in and destroy you. We need to teach this stuff. Not just lay hands on everybody. Lord, heal them. You come in here with cancer, we're going to take you inside. Let's deal with unforgiveness. Let's deal with these things. Get out of your pride zone. Let's glorify God and live. Everybody's messed up. Just admit you are, and we'll go there. If people will just admit you're messed up, it's just easy to help get it free. But we all go to church all dressed so nice and pretty, sitting all nice, and they do an altar call, and we're like, did you see it? Did you see who went up? Not this great. We're running to the sprinting. Yeah, we won't go there. Meetings, they come up for every altar call. That's right. Not that you don't come up for things God's not really showing you.